What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Floating Island Podcast. God only knows, they say these waters are in what they used to be. But I got people back online who count on me. So if you see my Downeaster Alexa. Right on. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day so far. I am here at the San Diego Rescue Mission with my dad, VP Mr. Armstrong. How's it going? Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah. So, aka Dad. So we can go with Dad today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, I get the privilege of overseeing our programs here, and so love what I get to do and try and make a difference in the issue of homelessness.
Heck yeah. And I mean, this is a kind of a big thing because, I mean, we can't lie. My podcast is a little, you know, not for the faint of heart, and definitely put out, and he's supported as much as a dad can do when you listen to your son talk about some really weird stuff on a podcast. So it is a huge thing to have him going. I know, like, I can't swear in this episode. Like, there were rules made.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. But we are going to be hitting, he's going to be hitting on how to live an integrated life. And I guess going straight into it, the biggest thing is, what is an integrated life? Yeah, like if you're gonna come to me and be like, hey, live this integrated life because this is the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna look at you and be like, well, first off, what is an integrated life? What am I integrating with me?
Yeah, absolutely, right. Well, I think it really is. It's that what I believe really does show up in how I act and how I live my life, right? And I can look at that, and there's integrity. So I listened to a great discussion around morality once, and someone asked a question, what's more important, loyalty or integrity? And the person he asked it to was a person who was actually involved in the Watergate, a guy by the name of Chuck Colson. And at that time, during Watergate, if you remember the 1970s, he said he chose loyalty. And he should have chosen integrity, because what the president needed was integrity at that time.
And they all went down.
Yeah. And so an integrated life is really this idea that what you see is what you get, and what I say I believe actually shows up in how I live my life. I bet you there's someone out here I can say you've been annoyed because someone said, hey, I am a Christian, yet they live their life in a way that you're like,
there's no way.
You do even know Jesus. Yeah. Or someone who, hey, like someone who's in the military, but then who bashes our Constitution, right? The very thing that we're sworn to support.
Uphold. Yeah.
So it's really going, okay, hey, what you say you believe, you're doing it. Like, that's, I get it. Like, that's awesome. Now, there's depth to that.
I know. I'm thinking, because when you're saying that, like, I go, What saying that to someone, like, especially is like to me, I first think my beliefs change on a daily basis. Like, I mean, I wake up and the sky is blue one day, and I wake up and I can tell you it's purple. Yeah. Like, my beliefs are just always changing. What would you say as far as, like, so what I say I believe, because one day I could believe that Justin Bieber is the greatest artist ever. Which, I don't know why he was the first guy that popped in my brain, but
I'm worried for you. I don't.
I know.
Okay, it's safe. This is a safe place.
Or and then I wake up and they're like, oh, so Justin Bieber's still the same, the best artist that ever lived. No. John Lennon is.
Yeah, so, great. I love it. Because, right, there's a part of, to truly get this, I would say the two important pieces that let us do that is being humble and being teachable. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we'll constantly be adjusting. I would say, and when you're younger, you are going to have more questions. That's just the nature of how we are. You're young, you know, you're trying to figure out life. You're gonna, what are my values? Over time, though, some big rocks start actually falling into place. Some big rocks, you ought to start having some basic principles that you go, okay, that's true. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things I would say for you, family's always been a big deal, right? So you value family. So while other beliefs may go up and down, your belief in family
stays.
Has stayed, right, right. Yeah. So when you think about that, there's got to be some big rocks in your life. The person who doesn't believe anything at all, anywhere, I mean, I worry about them. There's good therapy lines that we can get you and connect to it. But, you know, but I mean...
Right.
No, but, right, being able to say, okay, hey, what do I believe is true? What do I believe is the right... How's the right way to live my life? There ought to be some rocks that, over the course of your life, start to take place and become more and more solid, more and more rooted. And now what you want to do is go, hey, I'm going to be humble enough and I'm going to be teachable enough that I can make adjustments. But then even then, right, that's part of the integrated life to say, you know what, I used to believe this, mm-hmm. but as I got more better understanding, I now believe this. And I can show, right, because then I can show the progression. That's authentic. That's right. Genuine. And you can go, okay. And what's good about that, though, or what's important is that there's got to be some intelligence. If I'm just like throwing
like,
a dart.
Like you're evolving. I mean, as you grow up, you're all constantly evolving. Like
right.
When I was younger, I believed that superpowers could come if you got dumped radioactive waste on you.
Exactly.
You'd grow superpowers. But now I know you would just die a horrifying death.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, like, I mean, like we all know that Santa Claus is real.
Right.
Right. We
know. I said it right to that. I was like, right.
Yeah, no, but right. No, so right. And so it's going, hey, am I living an integrated life? Is what I believe, is that being shown out? And then am I actually doing the hard work of grounding myself in what I believe?
Right.
Like again, and if we could just be honest, and especially in our culture, it's super easy to stay superficial or super and jump around and not really have any depth, right?
Right.
Our invitation as humans, like as humans, is we can have depth,
right?
Right. We can actually be able to have convictions. We can have ideals. We can actually have goals. And in fact, as we get those convictions, ideals, our beliefs, then we actually have impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things, most of us, when we live our life, we want to go, man, well, look back and go, I made a difference, right? I think that's the kind of one of, there's
right.
a great quote.
Look back at your, like, legacy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't remember if it was John F. Kennedy or Ronald Reagan who said, the person who served in is either in the Navy or Marine Corps never has to worry about whether or not they lived on purpose, right? Because they can look at
right.
the fact that they served their country. That's
served
an example,
honor.
Right? Yeah, so...
I mean, I remember even bringing that up in my last episode going, when I was looking at going in, it was going, oh, there's a higher purpose there. You always want to serve this higher purpose. And yeah, when you're doing it, you don't question, like, what am I doing? I'm like, oh, I'm serving my country. It's like you always have this one thing you can go back to.
Yeah, you're making an impact. Well, how can I know I'm making an impact? Well, there's got to be rooted in something,
right?
There's got to be a foundation, right? That's what my core beliefs are. But my core beliefs, and then again, I have core beliefs, you look at me living them out and you go, that guy gets it. That guy is a genuine person. And then, oh, by the way, because of those core beliefs, there's some convictions, and that guy is actually making a difference or making an impact.
Right,
the
they're the guys that when you look at them and you go, holy cow, it's almost, they're usually the guys that people look at and go, I want to be like that guy.
Yep.
Like, I don't know why I came, I think I just saw a video on it, but like Keanu Reeves.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's the guy that, you know, he, even though crazy world of Hollywood, he's like, this is what I believe in, this is what I stand for, and throughout it, they've always looked at it, he's just a genuine good guy that stands by what he believes in. Like, that's kind of like a connection I was just pulling from there.
Yeah, and so, right, that's it. And right, and so we see when you don't take that time, right, we could probably go through the list of actors who what happened was is because they weren't rooted or they weren't grounded, fame screwed them up big time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we know time and time again.
Yeah.
Right, and so that was someone who didn't have an integrated life. They came into fame. It was cool.
Oh, yeah. It was a party and a blast at first.
And the next thing you know, they are unrooted. They're untethered.
Right.
And they're spiraling out, right?
Right.
And so we go. And then what we see, though, a lot of times is through that, then they go, I better get grounded, right? For mm-hmm. some of them, they do. Sadly, some don't. But mm-hmm. you can watch where some people then start to go, oh, I do need to have a foundation. I do need to have core beliefs. I do need to have things that are going to tether me so that I can live a healthy life.
True. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I think that explained what an integrated life really would look at. So,
well, I want to walk us through now a little bit more so that we can see this at a practical level and also then to also challenge ourselves. So, right, super simple. Okay, who do you think is the number one person we lie to?
Ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So most people are going to go, integrated life, live out what I believe. Yay, that's me. Yay, right?
Yeah.
And then you got to check off the box, okay? Well, let's push ourselves a little bit in that.
Okay.
Let's actually push ourselves. And so I want to ask you a question. What do you think of the issue of slavery? You okay with slavery?
No. I'd say it is wrong to have someone against their will working.
Okay.
I mean, the way I look at it, I mean, it's wrong no matter what, the treatment of it.
Yeah.
But when you want to work, it should be, A, I applied for this job, I'm going to work this job, not I just got kidnapped.
All right. So do you think the slave trade in the United States, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad thing.
Okay. All right. So where were you born? What state were you born in?
I was born in Virginia.
You were born in Virginia. Okay, let's go back in time and let's imagine you and I are having this same conversation in 1822 instead of 2022.
I'd probably be asking you when we're gonna get more slaves. Like, because you're thinking back then, that the income, it's terrible to think about, but.
Right. Okay, so yeah, let's look at this from the integrated life perspective, okay? Right?
Right.
They had the same Bible we have today. They knew that people were made in the image of God. They knew that people had value and worth, but we dehumanized an entire group of people, treated them horrifically.
Right.
Right? And sadly, you're right, right? You and I, had we lived in Virginia as two white guys, either A, if we had property, we would have totally been okay with it because it was free labor, right?
Right.
And then if we didn't have property, we would have been like, well, at least it's not us. Right. And so we're, you know, someone else, we can blame this entire group of people that have been enslaved. Right. So now this is where humility and teachability comes into play. And this is the hard work. All the podcasters, listen to this. This is the hard work. What things today do we accept as culturally? Because I think you're right. We would have totally bought into the culture of the day and we most likely.
Right.
Not guaranteed, but most likely would have been like, yeah, of course, slavery is okay. Now, hopefully there were people at that time who were known as abolitionists who fought against it, like to believe, and like most of us when we put ourselves back in that time place, we go, I'd like to believe I would have been against it, but most likely I wouldn't have been. I would have been okay with
100%.
It, and I probably even would have owned. Sadly, I would have owned someone, right?
Yeah.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific, right? So these folks had... Same Bible, should have been able to put the pieces together that was inappropriate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, what we ought to be asking ourselves is the hard question. What things are we accepting as okay and normal right now that 200 years from now, people are going to be like, ew, that was terrible. Now I'm going to really have to go, am I taking the
country
time?
Country music.
Well, potentially country music. Now, some good country music.
I'm just kidding.
Right? But I will, some of the ways, I'll throw out one, how we objectify women a lot of times. The way...
I don't know. I almost say that's I would almost say that's shifting in a way now. I feel like with all different movements, I say yes. No matter what, there's an objectifying of women, but there's an objectifying of men now. With,
right,
I would
so,
say, the rise in women, like, empowerment. So, I'd say there's a pretty evil playing field now.
Okay, so here, but let's take it, but here's the things, right? Is that we have, I think I could make the case, we've reduced human connection
to be
transactional,
yeah.
Right? It's transactional.
What are you going to do for me? What am I going to do for you?
That's right. And so, like, and there is a level of acceptance of just how we tolerate how we'll treat one another that, frankly, we ought to be a little bit disheartened by, or at least concerned about. No. So I say that to go, there's probably lots of areas, and so so one of the examples I will also use, so again, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus 100%, right. All in Team Jesus. And so one of the things I will do, again, because this is where humility really becomes a critical part to this. I will share, because I do have my Master's of Divinity, so if I was alive in Jesus' time, right, if I was a religious leader in Israel when Jesus was walking around, I would have been a Pharisee. They were the guys that picked on Jesus. They were the guys that completely missed the boat.
You've been trying to kill them.
Yeah, right? I have to own that, because there's power in that. Because if I can go, wow, I probably would have missed Jesus if I was then during Jesus' time as well. That could have actually happened. If I had been around during the time when slavery was endorsed in the way of the land, I may have bought into that. I probably would have been okay with that.
Right.
I need to be humble so that I can actually make sure that what I say I believe is really what I believe and what I'm living out. There's a great, in fact, I don't want to get super spiritual on you, but I always just thought this verse was super good. This is Paul, and he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And it wasn't that like he did the worst sins of anyone else, but he had a true accounting of himself. He knew his capacity, because he not only knew the bad things he did, he knew the bad things he thought.
Right.
Right? And so then he goes, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the worst, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. Right? And so what that does is that the humbleness of that, when I look at that, is that if I go, and I could be dead wrong, or I could actually be treating someone not the way God would want me to treat them. Mm-hmm. I now ground myself in being humble, which now also makes me teachable, which means the rock on what I base my beliefs on actually becomes stronger and deeper, because I know I'm doing the hard work. I'm asking myself the question, hey, am I treating women with the dignity and respect that they deserve? Am I treating all people with the dignity and respect they deserve?
Right.
Am I accepting transactional relationships, or am I having meaningful, genuine relationships? And am I holding myself accountable to that? And I think if we really do that, again, because our tendency, we're gonna lie to ourselves the most.
100%.
And then if I can get over myself and be honest with myself, I actually position myself to change. And as I change, I actually live out what I believe. And as I live out what I believe, people go, that guy has his act together. That's an integrated life.
Just that delivery, that's an integrated life. I just snapped the point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone has any questions on what an integrated life looks like from like your point of view. I'm sure 1,000. I mean, when you were talking, one question that was kind of beaming the back of my head was, when do you think, like I'm talking like age-wise, is the most important time to you think that you need to start really like, hey, this is my integrated life. Like, I need to start focusing. What are my big rocks? Like,
yeah.
Age group. Like, you think it is like that high school age, the college age, or do you think you really start to figure it out when you're like, I'm out of college and you're entering a workforce or something like that? You're like,
I think, right, it's good to look at it in stages and just acknowledge that we have different developmental stages. So one of the things, if you think about it, so I'll just use, because I actually did this a long time ago when I was in seminary, I laid out spiritual growth and kind of tied it to normal developmental growth. So let's just talk about normal human development, right?
Right.
A child's mindset is they're going to do and believe whatever the grown-up says,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So you always this good have healthy parents because, right, you need healthy parents for a healthy kid, right? So a child, if the child asks a question, there's going to be a complete dependency upon the adult. Move into the teenage years, and if we were just honest, that's a time frame where we're really tied to peers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever our friends believe, we believe. So if I can get it this way. Whatever my parents believe, I believe when I'm a child. Whatever my peers believe, I believe when I'm a teenager. And it's just, it's a developmental reality.
And it's
okay?
Kind of like then they both kind of mix up as you're going into college?
So then when I become an adult, right, that young adult, I have an opportunity. That's when I really can, I'm starting to be able to start to really form my own identity, right? Mm-hmm. I've broken out, I'm not living at home anymore, I'm engaging in the bigger world, and I start to really be able to go, okay, that should be a season of quality questions, right? You can question all the time. 2-year-old asks lots of questions. The teenagers ask lots of questions.
Right.
The quality of my questions as a young adult ought to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're deeper.
What do you think I should do?
Yeah, right.
Surface level.
Yeah, they're like, what is the meaning of life? How am I going to find purpose? What is valuable? How do I want to be seen by the rest of the world?
Right.
Right. And then we get this adult stage where we're in a continual growth. That's that you have a growth mindset where you're continuing to learn and humble, but you start to have your main rocks are forming. Your main rocks are settling in as your main rocks, right?
Right.
And so you think about that. So I'd say spiritually, a lot of times, again, people will join any particular, I'll keep this faith generic, right? So they join a faith group.
Mm-hmm.
They're a child at that point in time. Whatever the faith leader says, they're going to
right.
And then they're going to move into a time where they pretty much what their peers believe, they are going to believe. Okay, I'm going to pick on the American Christian Church for a minute. Most American Christians stall out at this level.
Mm-hmm.
They keep just believe. What do you believe? Well, I believe what my friends believe. Right?
Yeah.
My church believes. Oh, I must believe it too. They just kind of are. They don't take the time to really develop their own set of beliefs a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
And that's why we've seen the church kind of being taken some hits lately because there's a whole thing on deconstructing your faith and all that. Because what's been tolerated for too long is I'm just going to believe what everyone else believes, what my friends believe. Right?
Yeah, there's no like depth.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah. And now, frankly, as a church leader, as someone who's been in church leadership, I can say that part of that the church has to take ownership for because that next stage of questioning, we haven't always handled that well.
Mm.
Okay, right. And that's where but what ought to happen is, and from a spiritual perspective, is you go, okay, I believe what my friends believe. Now I'm going to move into I really question, what do I believe and why do I believe it? And we're going to settle that question, settle some of those answers. Again, not that I'm not continually evolving and growing and thinking, but I might have a season of real good quality questioning. Man, and then I'm going to be able to have some maturity. Now, I think I can put the same on, since politics is a big thing in our country, you can see the same thing in politics, right? You have the person who... It's a lot of times controlled by where they live, the political influences in their life. You happen to grow up in New York or you grow up in Texas, you're most likely going to have a different set of political views, right?
Yeah.
And then you kind of settle into this, well, I believe what everyone in my party believes,
mm.
right? And then very few, sadly, as we look at our political state in this country, which is poopy right now, very few start to go, maybe, you know what? Maybe that guy who is conservative or maybe that person who's progressive, they might, maybe they have something that's right. Maybe I need to look a little bit more intelligently. Why do I believe in gun control or abortion or name hot button ticket item? What
yeah.
do I really believe about that? And then you can settle on, hey, some core beliefs. But again, imagine this. What if all of our political leaders were humble and teachable? So they had their big rocks, right?
Right.
And then could you imagine Trump and Biden sitting down and being able to go, like, can we have a conversation? I want to respect you. You can respect me. And let's talk about how we can help our country get better.
Only if we bring ice cream. You want to look at my ice cream cone?
Yeah, but so, right, I think you can see that in stages. Is that as a general rule, when we're first forming beliefs, we're going to believe whatever the person that got us connected to that set of beliefs is
right.
going to believe. Then we're going to kind of have this peer relationship where we're going to kind of have a group think where we're going to believe what the group thinks. Then we need a question, and we need to start to form our own identity and our own understanding of those beliefs. And then we can be mature. And as long as in that maturity, we're still humble and teachable, we're going to have rock solid beliefs that ground us, and we're now living this integrated life that, again, I think that's how we position ourselves to really make an impact and change the world.
So, taking what you just said, and in my brain, it kind of summed it down to, like, if you're saying, when are you going to stop believing what the group is believing,
okay,
and take that moment to go, I'm an individual, what is it that I believe? Like, do I actually believe in what this group is going along with, or is this just, I'm going with the wave,
yeah,
going with that flow? Oh, no, I think that is, no, that's how I summarized it. It was just like, hey, when are you gonna stop going with the group and start thinking for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Question yourself. Go, why? Why is the best question? Because when you say why, and then if your first response is, I don't know, something's wrong.
Right.
If you're like, why? And you're like, well, because this. Why do I believe the sky is blue? Mm-hmm. I look at it and it's blue. I know there's science behind it. There's the whatever water molecules.
Yeah.
But that's why.
Sure. Yeah, and a great, useful, there's a tool. I actually had an executive officer on one of my ships say, ask why 5 times. So in other words, don't just ask why the first time,
mm-hmm,
but then ask why for that. So whatever the why is. So why is the sky blue? Well, because pigmentation or science tells me that. Why? Well, because they've actually studied and evaluated, and we know the fractal, and then you get, now we're getting into physics. But
yeah.
Okay, so.
But yeah, you ask, because you break it down all the way down, you go, I passed 5 whys.
Yeah.
This is back. This is logic. This is back.
Right, and so it helps you find out, again, I do think that's one of the things that we gotta acknowledge, is that we all have the potential to have blind spots and to have areas that we really strongly believe that are dead wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so being able to go, okay, let me look at that and be able to, again, but if I'm an adult, I have the capacity to actually do that well.
Yeah.
Right? And I can be able to walk through, and then again, I have the humility to be able to go, you know what? Actually, I was wrong on that.
Yeah. A funny, like, because it does work. An example, it's just a funny example of, like, when you find out you're wrong and the acceptance that you're wrong. I remember growing up, there was this T-Pain song.
Mm.
And the song, well, what I heard when I heard the song was the lyrics were, lick her in the eye. Like, lick her in the eye. And I had to be in fourth grade. In my head, because, like, this, you guys didn't let me listen to their music. This was, like, in school. This is, like, lick her in the eye. In my head, I made up that that must just be something adults do. They lick each other in the eyes.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that it was look her in the eyes until I was like 23. I was like 23. Someone told me because I played it and I sang lick her in the eyes. And he was like, what? He was like, no, it's look her in the eye. I was in dead disbelief because I believed it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to look it up. I didn't want to do any of that because I was like, no, there's no way. But it's kind of one that I said is like a stupid example. Kind of, I was like, I have to accept it that I believed this lyric for 15 years, like now, that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've been singing it like an idiot
there
for so long.
Oh, glad that got cleared up.
I know.
Yeah.
After I was such a deep confident, I'm just like, hear my story about the song lyric real quick.
Yeah.
But I do have questions for you.
All right.
So this isn't just going to be we're talking, there's just a question. The first question is, what would your advice be for someone in their 20s when it comes to seeking relationships, friends, significant others, mentors, in a society that seems to promote a community in which commitment is not popular, such as like toxic culture, stay woke, king, open relationships, etc.?
Yeah. So that's a great... So there's two parts to this, right? First of all, is we got to make a choice. Each one of us has the opportunity to go, what type of relationships do I want to have? And that there are, and now there's this is a second part of that. Don't make the assumption. So anytime I do us, them, I'm probably wrong. Okay, and what I mean by that is that the assumption is going to be, us, we have good relationships. Them, they have bad relationships.
Right.
Right. Okay. We have a culture that naturally is going to drive us to be separate, that's going to drive not having deep connections, right? So if I say the we,
right.
What that means is I have the capacity to be all of those things. All of those negative things, I could do them. I could have shallow relationships.
Right.
I could have, I could buy into things that are not going to let me have genuine connection, right? So once I get the we, then it's about going, well, then do it. And now here's the thing, it's hard work, right? It means that I recognize that this thing wants to suck my soul. it's easy to hide behind anonymity.
Right.
It's easy to not do the hard work. It's easy to not spend time with people. It's like if and now I'm going to start to evaluate the quality of my own relationships. What we know is that we are designed to be relational. We are designed for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can go, okay, well, if I'm designed for connection, am I connecting? And going that, and then am I holding myself accountable?
Right.
And then are the people that I'm in relationship, are we being genuine with one another? And again, I keep circling around about this, is because, again, this is part of the reason why we also then become so polarized. This is why I hate us them. If I can go, we are good, but I could always become bad. I have the capacity to become isolated. Then the we is going to stay real, genuine, and authentic. And then everyone else has the same opportunity, right? Because if I can...
Mm-hmm.
be tempted to fall into shallow relationships, I can choose to be in intentional relationships. You have that same capacity.
Right.
Everyone on your podcast has the same capacity. And so really it becomes about me, about growing my intentional community now, right? Because everyone I interact with has the capacity and the ability to have deep relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And have genuine relationships. And so now I'm just about, am I holding myself accountable? And are we actually creating... relationship.
I think definitely one of the biggest things that people miss out on is genuine relationships and their how important they are to, I actually think, someone's even upbringing, to how they shape out. Because I look back at my friends and the ones like literally just before this podcast, I had a friend call me to talk to you about a very sensitive topic that, I mean, we're not going to bring up.
Yeah.
Asking you for advice, like, my genuine relationship with him
mm-hmm.
was able that he knows you so well through mine and his relationship being over our house all the time when we were growing up. That genuine relationship is such a deep that he was able to call me to get to you and know that you were there for him.
Yeah.
I just think what can come out of a genuine relationship is what I'm trying to get at.
Uh-huh.
It's like those shallow ones, that's all it's going to be. There's not going to be like, they're not going to break. Almost like in my head, I see like a family tree.
Yeah.
That you build a genuine relationship and you just start... it starts breaking off into so many different things.
Yeah.
Like, it could lead to another relationship with another really good friend or someone else. There's
mm-hmm.
just so much from genuine relationships that people miss.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, 100%. So, do you have anything on that first question, a little last minute? Or
no, I think
no?
we covered it well. Right?
So,
think, again, it's, again, the key takeaways. Catch yourself when you say, us, them. That's my first sign that I'm going to get out of step.
Mm.
I say we. And then if it's we, anything that I'm trying to avoid that I believe is wrong in my culture, right?
Mm.
Anything I think I disagree with in my culture, I could be just as tempted. That there but the grace of God goes I, right? I could easily end up in that exact spot.
Right.
So are we doing the hard work to avoid that?
Mm-hmm.
And then if we are, we can expand our we, right? We can keep growing, and everyone I interact with has the capacity to avoid whatever trap I believe is being laid by my culture.
Mm. All right. There you go. Well, then moving on to number two. With the culture shift we are seeing in a younger generation, especially in the political separation, I know we're
mm-hmm.
kind of hitting on the political and division, what do you think the breaking point will be? do you think there will do you think that it will continue to get worse, or is it something an individual shouldn't worry about since it may not directly impact them?
It does, right? So let's be recently, just very recently, right? We had the Speaker of the House. Let's get this right, you know, in the pecking order. Number three persons, all right? If the president goes down, the vice president takes over.
Yeah.
The vice president goes down, I believe it is the secretary or the
Speaker of the House
is the next person in line, right? The Speaker of the House, her house was broken into and her husband was beaten with a hammer. Right?
I'm guessing because of a political...
Yeah, the guy said, I was going to make Nancy Pelosi tell the truth, and he was going to break her kneecaps if she didn't, right?
Wow. This is actually the first time hearing about this.
I
didn't go into the news, yeah.
Yeah, that's a couple days ago.
I really don't go on the news much unless I hear it through the grapevine on kind of people on big things.
I as a veteran, I was mortified on January 6th. I was disgusted. When I, because that's not what we do. That's not, we have, and I got it. We have our history. But in the last season, we were known as a nation that peacefully handed over power. The best example. I had just great respect for John McCain. When John McCain lost his bid for presidency, he came out and he said, "Hey, man, ran a good fight. President Obama won. He's my president now. And I'm going to support him and I want him to succeed." Right, that's us at our best. That's democracy at its best, right? The whole idea of democracy is that we have a space where everyone can speak, where everyone can give ideas, right? Where everyone can participate. And then when a decision is made, what we do is we continue then to do those things. We have a rich history. If we don't agree, so this is where we get to tap into men such as Martin Luther King Jr., right? Who totally did not agree with the laws of our land, right? And so he figured out a way to force us to have civil discourse about it, right? We had to talk about that.
Right.
And I got it. There's more complexity to this than I'm painting with. But first of all, every single one of us is responsible for the community we live in. The community, so I am responsible for San Diego. I am responsible for California. I am responsible for the United States of America. I am responsible for the world. So, right, every one of us we have to have a responsibility mindset. So if it doesn't affect you now, it will affect you at some time, right? And so being able to go, no, this is not okay. Like, actually, the level of our discussion is no longer healthy. In fact, it's dysfunctional and it's destructive. Yeah. Now, and as it gets, and as it boils over, the next step is that people will start to become violent, right? That's what we see in this book. And so we know the pathway. And if we don't start to go... No, and so we can talk specifically, we're talking about the United States. Every single citizen of the United States has the ability to have influence. Are you having influence? Are you going to vote, right? We're in midterm elections. We have, every one of us has the privilege and opportunity to vote, and that vote is important. Every single one of us has the opportunity to call a spade a spade. And if someone is speaking inappropriately about another person, we go, that's no. Like, again, I think if anyone could, just go back and watch or relive some of the time with, it was McCain versus Obama. There was a lot of just wisdom. There was one time where a person at a McCain event, I just remember, she was claiming that President Obama wasn't a citizen.
Oh, I remember that whole thing, yeah.
And John McCain came up and was like, no, you're wrong. he's a good man. And he defended his opponent. Now just think about it. In any election right now, imagine defending your opponent. So if you're running for public office, I double dog dare you to find a way to defend your opponent, to stand up for your opponent, to actually praise your opponent. That would be amazing. Wouldn't it be amazing if the two candidates just said, you know what? I'm running against Zach. I don't agree with Zach's ideas, but what I do know is that Zach cares. I just want to affirm, Zach, that you care. I hope I kick your tail in the election next week.
Yeah.
Vote for me because I'm smarter and I got better ideas, but I do know you genuinely care and you want the best for San Diego. Imagine if that was a level of conversation. Because
you are coming out like, hey, I do think I'm better, but I can appreciate my opponent. You're coming at me with some good stuff. Like,
more importantly, I can respect, right? This is this basic human element of respect for one another. Again, now to go to the one question about a disconnected society. This is human nature 101, right? Social media has allowed us to have a level of anonymity, right? Where we don't...
A level of disrespect.
Right, it becomes out of anonymity, right?
Right.
So a classic story is The Invisible Man, right? The story of The Invisible Man, mm-hmm. right? That's a classic literature. There's been movies about that. What happens once the guy becomes invisible?
He abuses it, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no one can see him. First thing, let's be honest. Okay, if you got invisibility right now, what are the chances that you're going to go...
I'm robbing a bank.
Yeah, right?
I'm robbing a bank, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right? Humility. If I am anonymous... My natural tendency, and that goes back to the verse Paul said, Christ came to save sinners of whom I'm the worst. I have an honest self-assessment of me. Anonymity lets me say stuff about other people that can be horrific, disrespectful, right? And so what do? I do that. I hide behind a screen and I tweet stuff that's inappropriate. And sure enough, it feeds, right? And so if we can just go...
Just throwing a little bit of piece of poop on this already giant pile of poop.
Yeah, right, yeah. And so, right, so let's go, man, we better all be involved. Mm. If we're not all involved, what we're going to let continue to happen are these loud voices just ring out, and they're going to keep us getting twisted, and we're going to keep doing bad things. And what we are going to see is, sadly, increased levels of violence. There's some really wise voices. So one of the things I'm super disappointed because you don't hear much of them anymore is Andrew Yang. Brilliant guy. Shout out to Andrew Yang.
Yes.
He was a Democratic candidate for president.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say I've ever even heard of this.
Okay,
name,
yeah.
I know.
So he ran for president. And he critiqued the system really well. And I remember because one of the examples he used in one of the podcasts I listened to was... There was a guy who had been an admiral in the Navy who was also running, right? But because the press had basically already written this particular guy off, they kind of almost mocked the fact that in whatever state one of his PR stunts was to walk around and meet people, and so he's almost getting mocked. But when you actually looked at his resume, it wasn't just that he'd been an admiral, he'd done a couple other things where Andrew Yang was like, actually, if I just did a look at the resume and he had met this person, here was a quality person who was actually qualified to be running for president that everyone marginalized and ignored.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang, he brought some great discussion again about, you know, just how he got treated in through that process and some of those things. And so where I'm going with that is to go... Right, we all have a voice, and what we can't allow for is the political institutions that are to dictate and operate a process that drowns out our voice, minimizes our voice, doesn't allow us to be engaged. And a sad thing is, so Andrew Yang actually did want to start a third political party. If we look at the mess the Democrats and Republicans have caused, I'm ready for a third party. There's a lot of barriers that's happened that's going to keep that because those in power So our right, and so each one of us, all that to say to that question, we all better get involved. Mm-hmm. We all better start being mindful of the what we're hearing and what we are tolerating, and what we're allowing, right? So in fact, there was a Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old kid who was able to bring an assault rifle to a riot and ended up shooting three people, right? Mm-hmm. All right, I just want to replay it. So, right, again, it was tolerated. He walked past police officers and was like, I'm here to protect people. And we all said, okay, yeah, a 17-year-old untrained kid, put him on the front lines. That's brilliant. And sure enough, people got shot. And I want to believe a couple people died and at least one person was injured, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, real consequences happened. What would have happened? Like, I'm just going to throw this out. This is where we can all think about what's my moment there. What would have happened if, as he walked up, the first police officer who saw him said, what are you doing?
Well, I'm here to protect.
How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 17.
Give me that.
Right. Or just go, oh, I didn't see that you had a badge as well.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you what. Have your mommy give me a call to get this back.
Of
room. Right.
Like, I'm keeping this.
Like, you know, go home. Go home.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if that someone had just spoken up. Right? And so, again, a lot of times we're tolerating.
Wasn't that, like, one of the biggest questions that is asked is people wonder is, like, what if I said something?
Yeah.
Or what if that person did something?
The best news, one of the things I'd always say as both a chaplain and as a leader, the best news story is the one that's never told. Right? And what I mean by that is because there was going to be something bad that happened, but someone stepped in and now nothing bad happened.
Right. It was stopped. You didn't have to hear about it because it was taken care of.
Yeah. And so in our current political reality, and I know a lot of people, there's some legitimate concern about our democracy. And that's well founded because, man, we are getting nasty.
Yeah.
And nasty spills into violence. Right? We're starting to see that. And so it's upon all of us to go, not in my democracy.
Yeah.
Like, and what it'll start with is what we actually go, again, right? And if I move from us, them to we, wow. Like, right, it could be like, okay, you're a different political party than I am, but we're still Americans, and we want a country that's thriving and is healthy.
We
want
to be proud of our country.
Right?
I mean, it is kind of crappy when, like, I talk to, like, our cousins in England.
Yeah.
And the way they look at America is not...
Right.
It's very comical. It's almost like, it's not even like a bad way. It's very like unserious, very like...
It's a reality TV show,
yeah,
right?
Like,
it's like Big Brother. Like Big Brother, what's that? Oh, I'm watching the United States. Like, let's tune into...
Like when Trump was there, like, yo, Trump just had lunch with Kanye.
Yeah,
like
right.
That's a huge thing.
I know, right?
It's like no way, dude.
Yeah. Right, so we just gotta go and be able to start to go. We better speak up, because what we'll tolerate, right, is we can go, well, it's not impacting me yet.
Yeah, this is just for me. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think, so before I ask my third question, I just want to put out there, I would change, I wouldn't rob a bank. If I was an invisible man, I think I would haunt someone famous. Like, because that way, like, if you haunted someone famous, like, when they go on, like, talk shows and stuff like that, you could be at home watching it, and they'd be like, dude, I'm telling you, I'm being haunted right now, I'm watching things flow,
yeah.
People, like, some, I swear,
yeah.
I hear a voice whisper in my ear at night, just watch this guy lose his mind over
yeah,
me.
Right.
How about you,
yeah.
Huh? What are you gonna do? You're invisible.
All right, well, when I was younger, before I was married, I probably would have gone into the girls' locker room, just to be honest. That would That would have been a thing. That would have been a thing back in
like,
the olden days.
Like,
but
I feel like it was... I don't know if it's really a... I'm thinking more of today, because if I was in high school now and that... I could see that whenever you watch a older movie,
yeah.
The high school locker room,
yeah.
The girls' locker room. Even like growing up, like cartoon, that was like the thing. The
yeah.
guy gets pushed in the locker room, the girls,
yeah.
or like,
yeah.
we're gonna sneak in. But like when I was Like, dude, I don't think that was ever like a on my mind thing. Like, I wonder what the girls' locker rooms is like.
I think wanting to mess with people, it is right. You do.
Yeah.
You know that again. Nothing good. Like I don't.
I also think it's because of like going off of screen time. Like, no offense, I didn't have to imagine what a inside of a girl's locker room was.
I could Google it and have it.
But like, I almost find like that fun though. There was like an innocent. If I was invincible, I would sneak into the girls' locker room.
Yeah,
I would see what they're talking about, giggling.
Yeah,
100%. So the last question. So going off of this, so integrated life. I kind of want to give the chance on last minute. Summarize it, because the last question I was given this one as well to ask. It, I wouldn't say it really has to do with integrated life, but I did want to ask it because I think, since I have you, I'm going to ask you what your input on is it.
Sure.
But right now, just summarizing, if you have any last minutes on the integrated life, just give that moment to...
Yeah, well, like, let's see this lived out. So again, I'll use, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. I think I've matured and grown over the time. One of the things I had to do was some of my understanding, so what I've had to learn in is even my own understanding of the nature of God. I used to actually struggle with self-confidence, self-esteem, being able to have a healthy confidence with my identity rooted in Christ. You can talk to your mother. If your mother talking about 20-year-old Paul and 50-year-old Paul, there's been growth and maturity, right?
Right.
And where there's been things. And then...
And going off of that before you, like, one of the coolest things I've seen as far as growth from 20 to 50-year-old is I feel like there is that misconception where people go, oh, by 30, I'm going to have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coolest things that I have realized, because that, my 22-year-old brain, literally like 3 years ago, was I'm going to figure this out by 28. I'm going to have it figured out. I will have my stuff built. And realizing no matter how old you get, you're always growing. You're always learning. You're never going to have it fully figured out because something's always going to grow. It was just adding on to that as far as...
Yeah, right. And so now here, let's go. Let's get a little even real, right? One of the tendencies that I have to be careful of, because every once in a while you and I butt heads. Did you say that's true?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. So a temptation is allow our relationship to become superficial.
Right. Very surface level. Hi,
because,
hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, because they're right. You go, oh, okay. And so the integrated life forces conversation again of what does forgiveness look like? What does love look like? What does respect look like? A two-way relationship, right? There's depth to there and being able to go, okay, hey, if I'm not careful, I could let our relationship slip. I have a great marriage, 30-year marriage, right? Love it.
Right.
If I don't continue to be intentional, I could lose it, right? Yeah, you could let it, you know? And so if I were to offer that, is again, it starts with that idea of really being able to be true to myself or honest to myself, staying humble and teachable, and then continuing. Like that's where the I, we thing versus the us, them thing becomes so critical. So really being able to go, you know what, I have this capacity. I could be this person who is not having healthy relationships. I could be this person who is not spending my time well. So since I know I have that capacity, I also know I have this capacity to have genuine relationships, to be authentic, to do that. And so I'm going to choose to do and stay grounded in that. And I think as I do that, man, I have a fighting chance.
Mm, yeah, no, definitely. So I guess going on to the last question, it's really coming at the idea, what do you say about the kid who's in the Middle East, in a village, never heard about Christ? Because, I mean, as a follower of Christ, that's
mm-hmm.
the whole goal. You want everyone
yeah.
to come to know Christ. Never heard Christ,
mm-hmm.
raised, we're going to say, probably Muslim,
mm-hmm.
knowing the region. What do you? He dies. He dies. He's going to heaven anywhere along his life. He goes. Like, we'll even put it because you know I never say, "Hey, a kid dies." I just want to believe all kids go to heaven.
Yeah.
So, he's like in his twenties. Twenties hasn't heard Christ. You know, Muslim or whatnot. Probably lived not in an old way Christ-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He dies. Is God
where
like,
is going?
Sorry, man, you didn't hear about me.
Yeah. Did guy get caught off guard too? He's like, oh.
I meant to tell you.
Oh, no. Okay.
Literally yesterday, I sent a missionary. If you would have hold off one more day.
I told you not to cross the street there. You should have used the crosswalk, right? Yeah. So, all right. So this is gonna go back to what do I believe? What are my big rocks? And so first I'm gonna be unashamed and say, and I hope everyone gets to know Jesus personally and is willing to accept him as their savior and life leader. I truly believe that's truth. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Whoever wants to come to Father must come through me. Man, two thumbs up, because I have both love and respect for Jesus, as just as I have grown and matured in understanding who he is and what he did, and what that means to my life. So with that, though, now let's take this question, right? And let's understand. Let's ask three basic questions. Do I believe God is good?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Do I believe God is just?
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah. Right. If he's good, he's most likely just.
Right.
Do I believe God is smarter than me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe a lot of people are smarter than me.
All right. So if God is smarter than me, God is good and God is just, I have to understand that I am limited in so many ways that God is not limited.
Right. You're kind of coming out like, we're limiting God to, oh, he never heard of Christ. You're limiting him just to that. Oh, he never heard of Christ, he's going to hell.
Yeah.
You're not limiting to him, oh, let me actually take this kid's life and actually judge him accordingly
and take
what he learned.
And right, and understanding, again, God can also, right, I think any of us knows this, is that, right, here's why did the religious leaders miss Jesus? Because God didn't come in the way they thought he was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now we can look back on Old Testament and go, look, they should have known, but right? But anyway, like from that perspective, I would go, I'm going to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And that God will handle that situation perfectly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I'm not, and so someone, that's a cop out, but I will go back to, God is good.
Take a step back going, hey, I got to realize, am I smarter than this higher being that I'm calling?
And so if God is good and God is just, what I do know is that when that young man comes before the throne of Christ, which I believe that's what's going to happen when we die, in that moment, Jesus will handle it perfectly. And whatever happens, that person's going to be like, okay.
Oof. Right on. Well, I have to say that I absolutely enjoyed watching you go off on this podcast. It was a pleasure to do it. I mean, I get to watch you talk all the time. You're my dad, but this was it was different, and it was really cool. And I guess, guys, hey, remember, we have a voice. Let's use it. We all have a voice. I just started this a couple months ago, realizing I have a voice. I'm using it. This is how I'm going to use my voice.
Yeah.
You guys have a voice, use it. Be humble, get deeper connections, find your integrated life, as far as what he explained. Really ask yourself the questions, why? Ask yourself why 5 times. I really enjoyed that. Take that away. Ask why. Just enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
And yeah, we're out. Leave. Just go, go, just go. Took on diesel back in Montauk yesterday.